Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to another in the series Read the Word. This is our third session in the book of Hebrews, and tonight on this session we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 11 and 12 and 13, talking about the heroes in the faith and how they walked with God. Chapter 13, and in my opinion, it's the Apostle Paul. He's going to give us some very good instruction about how to live our daily Christian life. And, you know, Hebrews chapter 6 says that you and I should follow those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. And don't try to be them. Chase God like you see them chase God. I remember Dr. George Evans would say, if you don't read your Bible through five times a year, you're not serious about reading the Bible. And I'm thinking, my goodness sakes alive, five times in 1 year, you must be a speed reader. But guess what? Just because that was his diligence doesn't mean that that's got to be your diligence. Nobody can judge your diligence, whether or not you're diligently chasing God, except you and God. And God will not be severe on you if you are diligently seeking him. He's going to just be like, come on, let's go. And every day of your Christian life will be about growth and development, because everything about you will be like, well, I just want to be like you, Dad. I just want to be like you. And so when that's the case and you just want to be like the Father, guess what? The Father wants you to be like him. And he's in here leading you, and you will be like him. You can be just like Jesus. I only do what I see my Father do, and I only say what I hear my Father say. And I encourage you to make that your greatest goal of your life. Are you ready? Everybody, let's have a sip of coffee together. Should old acquaintance be
for God. And death.
Say it.
Or to mind, should old acquaintance be forgot and days of old resigned.
There.
Always I, always I.
Well, there. Thank you, Phyllis. I don't even know the song. I honestly don't know anything except Auld Lang Syne. Anyways, welcome, welcome, welcome. We're going to be doing the book of, let me see. Let me just say it right here. Next, we have 2 Timothy, then we have 2 Peter in Jude, 1 John, 2nd and 3rd John, and then the only thing that's left is the book of Revelation. And we want you to be here and be a part of that as we read through the book of Revelation. Matter of fact, we're going to enjoy the book of Revelation so much when we read it, we're all going to say, it's time to do another one, Pastor. Let's study the book of Revelation again. And and what we do in the month of January. And so those of you that like the study of end times things, I encourage you to come and be with us during that study of the book of Revelation. It'll take us about 3 days to go through it. Dr. Hilton Sutton is a man that I've studied after many years of my life, probably one of the foremost authorities on the prophetic scriptures of the Bible. Matter of fact, he actually made a Bible himself that is a red-letter New Testament and a red-letter Old Testament. He put all the words of God in red in the Old Testament. It's a powerful Bible. And he was a wonderful, wonderful man of God, a Texan. A man could eat you underneath the table. The man could eat some food. Now, no new God. Some days you just thought God was standing right there next to him because he's in him. because he had studied so diligently the majestic Word of God. He's the man that got the statement, the majestic Word of God. Got it from him. And I was there at his School of Eschatology in Roman Forest, Texas. Wonderful place. Absolutely wonderful place. All right, here we go. Are you ready?
Ready.
Somebody shout, I love the Word.
I love the Word.
Hold your Bible up. Let's make our confession. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe what God's Word says.
I believe what God's Word says.
I am what Jesus says I am.
I am what Jesus says I am.
Because he is the great I am.
Because he is the great I am.
Tonight I receive the Word of God.
I receive the Word of God.
Place it as a seed in the soil of my life.
I place it in, as a seed in the soil of my life.
Producing a hundredfold return and more.
Producing a hundredfold return and more.
In my spirit, soul, and body.
In my spirit, soul, and body.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen and amen and amen. Here we go. Hebrews chapter 11. This has got to be one of the most favorite chapters of the whole Bible. It's just by faith. Verse 1. Now faith. So for the next hour, I'm going to preach, faith is now. Okay, I can't do that, but I sure want to. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it is the evidence of things not seen. I guess I better make a co-host there, hadn't I? Everybody pause. It's the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. There we go. Sister Leanne will co-host you on Zoom today. For by it, the elders obtained a good testimony. That's what faith will do for you. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. God saw darkness. Aren't you sure? Aren't you glad God didn't say, well, it sure is dark out here? We'd all been in darkness. God saw darkness, and what did he say? Let there be light. And there was light. He called things that were not as though they were. How am I going to get through these three chapters? Verse 4, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained a witness that he was righteous. He's in the Old Testament, and God called him righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead still is speaking to you and I. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken away, so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For he, before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And my personal opinion of it is that Enoch was just walking and talking with God one day, and God said, why don't you just come on up here with me? Off he went. Verse 6, one of my most specifically taught verses of the whole New Testament right here. This is the easiest definition of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So let's do this. Conversely, with faith, it is possible to please him. So just say it with me. I will have faith. Amen. With faith, it's possible to please him.
With faith, it is possible to please him.
He who comes to God, that's you and me, must believe he exists. Well, everybody knows God exists. Except for the dumb ones that are that call themselves atheists. They're really not atheists. They're just, can somebody please show me the true God is? They're not atheists. God. He who comes to God must believe that he, God, is, so you believe he is, and you believe he rewards those who diligently seek him. Well, that's the easiest understanding of faith there is. I believe God is, and when I seek him, he'll reward me. Not that I seek a reward, but what is it saying to you? I know he's there, and when I move with him, he's moving. That's faith. To that mountain to be removed, it's going to be removed, cast into the sea, and it have to obey you. Verse number 7, got to keep moving. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. By faith, Noah believed God is, and believed God rewards him when he built an ark. He used faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out of the place which he would receive as an inheritance, he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, Abraham believed God was, and Abraham believed, when I seek him, he'll diligently, he will abundantly. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He will reward me. He went out not knowing where he was going. Verse 9, he dwelt in the land of promise in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That's the New Jerusalem. Pause. The book of Revelation, we'll get there, but New Jerusalem, 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles high. Now, our planes fly at 50,000 feet. Miles, 5,280, so you're just shy of 10 miles up. And the New Jerusalem is 1,500 miles high. 1,500 miles wide is about North Dakota to Maine, North Dakota to Texas, and across to Florida. That's 1,500 miles. And then 1,500 miles high. How many are you going to just go ahead and believe with me? That's going to be one magnificent city to see. Verse 11. By faith, Sarah also received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him who had promised. Some of you that have been believing to have a child, and it seems you're past age, as some would say. Well, you ain't past Sarah's age. She was 90. She judged him faithful. She believed God is, and she believed God would reward her when she diligently sought. Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky, a multitude innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Our population, I believe, just the other day, topped 8 billion people on the earth the other day. Well, that's just right now. How many people have lived from here 7,000 years back to the garden? Billions. Verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, where it was assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind the country from which they had come out, they would have had the opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. He's not ashamed. Nature itself teaches you God exists. Nature itself. Well, I just don't believe God can forgive you of all your sin. Think about it. The water will rush down the mountain and take out everything that's dead. By the time that water reaches the river and that river reaches the ocean, all that stuff is washed into the ocean. And before you know it, the salt water and the enzymes in the ocean have eaten all the garbage. And the next thing you know, you just got pure water and a log floating up on the beach, driftwood. That's how God made it. I don't care who man thinks he is. He can't destroy this earth. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. To all y'all green folks, why don't you read the book, and you won't waste all of our time to put stupid laws and regulations on so that ain't going to have no effect on nothing except making you a billionaire. I'm preaching better than you're staring right now. Verse 15. And truly, if they had called to mind the country from which they'd come out of, they would have an opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he prepared for them a city. Verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered Isaac. He received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, whom it was said, and Isaac, your seed shall be called. Verse 19, concluding that God was able to raise him from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each one of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave them instructions concerning his bones. Everybody, you and I are living by faith right here, right now. We're reading a book that we didn't see the author. We don't know anything about this author, the Holy Spirit, except what we've learned from this book. And you can't see him with your eyes, but you can know him on the inside of you. And you can sense, you can be aware, you can, many people use the word feel, but it's not a feeling. It's actually an experience that happens on the inside of you that you know, man, I am filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Romans chapter 8 says, hit by the Spirit of God, it bears witness with our spirit that we're actually sons of God. How does it happen? Except that it's God. And you're back in connection with the one who made you. Certainly your mama carried you. Your daddy's seed and your mama's egg came together and made a being, and God put your spirit in there and wrote a book about you, Psalm 139. Read that book, Psalm 139. I'm in verse 23. Woo! There's too many good stories to just go on by. Maybe if I take a couple more drinks of coffee, I'll just... Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents. His parents hid him in faith. Pharaoh said, kill them all. And Amram and Jochebed said, uh-oh, we ain't killing this one. Nope. Ain't no different than the Baal worshipers today. Kill your babies. Mutilate your little teenage kids. Tell them they got to have a sex change. It's the same demon that was operating in this verse right here. It's operating today, and you and I say, no, you don't, not to my kids, not to my grandkids, and not to their neighbors that live next to them. Was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him. Circle that him right there. That's Jesus. He envisioned him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do the same thing, were drowned. Sometimes that's what happens when you see somebody else operate in faith and you try to do what they do. You might have to tread water. But see, Pharaoh had no faith. He charged into that sea, even though he knew better than to drive his horse in the middle of that sea. In his intellectual brain, he thought, well, the God of the water, Poseidon, which is the God they worship the most, has led them right into that water, and I'll be able to kill him. And as soon as he got in the middle of the water, the angels took the wheels off the chariot, and all the men said, it's all over. It's all over. we let that God drag us out in this water, and he just annihilated us, and every single one of them were killed. Verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe, when she received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? This harlot said, I'll protect you, but you protect me. And they put a red scarlet band out the window and said, if it's hanging out the window when we get here, your part of the wall won't fall until we get you there. Rahab is literally in the lineage of Jesus because of her faith. Verse 32, for time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, all of them great judges and prophets and kings, who through faith subdued kingdoms, through faith worked righteousness, through faith obtained promises, through faith stopped the mouths of lions, through faith quenched the violence of fire, through faith escaped the edge of the sword, through out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mockings and scourging, yes, and of chains and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn in two. They were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world is not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. I want you to think about this. What is faith? Faith is God telling you, speak to that mountain and get it out of your life. Whatever it is. It could be poverty, it could be debt, it could be lack, it could be sin, a disease, it could be a sin, a weakness, something. But it doesn't matter what it is he tells you to do, do it. Just do it. It's going to stretch your brain, your mind. But don't listen for God to talk up here. Listen to God to talk down here, inside. Yeah, I'm serious. Ask God about everything. Ask him how to make better coffee, how to make better eggs, how to make better toast. Ask God about everything. What does that do when you do that? It trains your inner ear of your inner man to hear the voice of God. To hear the voice of God. And now that you hear the voice of God, all of a sudden, when something big comes and happens, you can hear the voice of God clearly and move immediately, and God will perform many mighty, amazing miracles because you know how to hear his voice. I have so many testimonies in my mind right now, people of faith. Let me give you a quick one. Haiti has always been a very, very very sad, horrendous place because they dedicated the nation to the witchcraft, the occult, and voodoo in 1904. And therefore, for 100 years, the nation was dedicated to the devil. And when it started coming around, I think it was 2004, it was right in there somewhere, started coming around again, God started saying to people, no, we're going to turn this year. They're not going to dedicate it again. My friend Terry Mai said, I've just told God over and over, Lord, just move the people off the island. We'll bulldoze it into the sea and we'll start over. Because it's just so bad. And there's a native man who was there. And God said, I want you to go and get on radio, on the missionary radio. And I want you to preach that and speak specific words that this nation will be dedicated to God, not to Buddha. And so he had begun to do that. And he was on his way one day to the radio station to record another recording. And a certain number of men met him on the road and said, you're not going through. He said, yes, I am. They're like, no, you're not. And they pulled out their AK-47s and began to shoot him. And He walked right through them, walked right through the hail of bullets, walked right in. When he got to the radio station, they were like, wow, what happened to you? And his shirt was all ripped up from the bullets hitting him. All right? But that not one bullet, I think it was 22 shots that his body took and glanced off. And he literally had 22 red spots where the bullets bounced off his skin. Why? God said, go do it. And God protected him. There he was. That guy pulled the gun and shot him right in his chest 5 times. Bam, 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 bam. Terry said, I was counting the shots because I thought, if he pulls that trigger one more time, he's out of bullets and I'm going to punch him right in the face. How'd they do it? By faith. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. Now, folks, I've been working on this one in my life, and that is a challenge. And that is a serious challenge. So I encourage you, get started and do it right now. Just tell him, Jesus, I'm going to do it. But then don't be freaked for the next 6 months while you're trying to get it done. He's like, how come you're doing that? I don't know. Because we've learned to just do things ourselves. Yet, if we only do what we see him do and we only say what we hear him say, then we don't have any unanswered prayer. Because God isn't going to tell you to do something that's not of him. I've gone to preaching again, and it's time to read the word. Somebody just shout, read the word.
Read the word.
I caught all my Zoomers saying, where's the mute book? Chapter 12. We've made it all the way to Hebrews 12. Therefore, what do you do when you find a therefore?
Find out what it's there for.
So we're going to go back now and start again at Hebrews chapter 1. Here we go.
If you want to, I'm going to listen.
We also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us. Let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author of your faith and the finisher of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He called it joy. For the joy that was set before him endured the cross and despised the shame. He called it joy. Why? Because he won you and me. Verse 3, consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not resisted the bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. When I say it, I am a son. Amen. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and whom he scourges, and he scourges every son whom he receives. You know what you'll find? You will find that God's chastening and scourging, it won't even seem like it. Because the most wonderful characteristic of any powerful believer is a teachable spirit. And if you have a teachable spirit with the Father, it's never going to be rebuking and hard discipline. Why? You got a teachable spirit. You'll be just like, yeah, that makes sense to me. Thanks for telling me. Verse 7, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we've had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us, as seemed best to them. But he, for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Verse 11. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful at the for the present time, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruits of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. I've been in all year long. I've been in this thing ever since I saw this revelation. I only do what I see my Father do, and I only say what I hear him say. Man, that's just, it might not be a challenge to you, but that's been like a serious challenge. Why, Pastor? You just rebellious or something? No, I'm not a rebel at all. I don't like rebels. I've just been trained to do it my own way and ask him to bless it, rather than listening to what he's saying to go do and then doing it, and then it'll automatically be blessed because it's his plan. 12. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet. So what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people. Pursue holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Verse 15, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. If you don't deal with the roots of bitterness in your life, they will get in and defile other people. Many other people. I want you to think about this. Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, when you're born again, comes to live on the inside of you. The author of faith lives in you. Faith himself lives in you. Therefore, to say you don't have faith, you can't say that. He lives in you. He's the author of it, and he's the finisher of it, and he lives in you. So begin to say, I have great faith. That's not arrogant. That's what he wants you to say and how he wants you to move. All right, verse 15. Looking carefully, lest any of you fall short of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble by this, many become defiled. I mean, think about it. If you have a root of bitterness towards someone, you're not going to hurt them. You hurt yourself. Hey, Paul Oxy's with us. John Wayner figured out Zoom. Good. Brother Roger. I'm not sure who all's here, but there's seven of you here so that I can see. So sign in. Tell us where you're watching from, and it'll be a blessing to us. We love you. I'm in Hebrews 12:16. Lest there be any fornicator or person, profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched, and that burned with fire, and to blackness and darkness and tempest. Those are found in the book of Exodus. God showed up on the mountain, and Moses went up in there for 40 days to get the Ten Commandments. Joshua was up there 40 days. They both fasted 40 days up at the top of the mountain. And then they came down, and Moses broke the tablet over the golden calf, and God said, now this time you're going to hew out some stones to get back up there. And they were up there for another 35 days, 75 days in the wilderness, top of the mountain. It's a pretty long fast. 19, sound of a trumpet, the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. They could not endure what was commanded, and if so much as a beast touches them, they'll be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I'm exceedingly afraid and trembling. Moses, who was actually in the presence of God. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the Judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, look at this, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. There's a whole hour of preaching right there in 18 to 24. So good to have all you guys with us. I'm in verse number 25, Hebrews 12, 25. Therefore, see that you do not refuse him who speaks, that him is capitalized. For if they did not escape who received him who spoke on earth, how much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven? Don't turn away. Say it over and over. I don't understand that. Father, show it to me. And he will. He's the greatest father there's ever been. 27. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things which are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which, excuse me, by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. See, guys, God is severe to those who know him and don't chase him. He don't get it. If you know God, why don't you want to be like him? Well, Pastor, I do. But I just want him on Sunday mornings. No, he wants you 24/7. And it's such a good life. 13:1. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers. For by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners, as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers God will judge. You're going to be judged. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You say this about having. Well, it's time to get here. We're doing good. Some people are just totally against Christians prospering because they believe that poverty brings you some kind of holiness or something. And that's just wrong. It's not in the Bible. But other people are like, well, it's all right to prosper. You know, don't take this thing to an extreme. Well, God's making a city made of gold, 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles long, and 1,500 miles high. He don't have a problem with it. What he has a problem with is covetousness. So the only way you're going to learn that battle and win is actually get down to where you don't have anything except faith in God. Well, learn it quickly. And then let him lift you up. And let him tell you how to live every day. He'll tell you to sow over here, tell you to give over there, and tell you to bless that person. He'll tell you to pray for these people. It's impossible for me to tell you what God's going to tell you. So you have to have a relationship with yourself. Because then you get to heaven, you get a crown. Don't mock the gift of God that he put inside of you. Learn to use it so you can bless and help other people. and realize none of us will be judged by what God told you to do. Only you will. The judgment at the judgment day, at the judgment seat of Christ, will be for what we could have been and didn't strive for. It'll be more for that than it actually will be for the actual things we did. And some of you are like, I never even heard anybody talk like this. Well, it's the truth. Because God knows your potential. He gives every one of us gifts according to his will. Oh, verse 8. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what men can do to me. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. God tells you to follow their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried away with various and strange doctrines, for it's good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat, for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate of the city. He was just outside the gate, right next to the temple. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Obey those who rule over you. Be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. And those, as those who must give an account, let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we are confident we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. But I especially urge you to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I appeal to you, brethren, bear with the word of exhortation, for I have written to you in few words. Know that our brother Timothy has been set free, with whom I shall see you if he comes shortly. Greet all those who rule over you and all the saints. Those from Italy greet you. Grace be with you all. Amen and amen. That, my friends, is the book of Hebrews. In 3 days of Read the Word, this is Circle the Wagons. Now, I want to encourage everybody that's here. Brother Dan, or Sister Leanne, somebody. Is it possible to put a Zoom link into the YouTube thread? People want to come in the... be a part of the... communion ministry. I'm going to finish Zoom in this Read the Word in just a minute, and then we're going to stay on Zoom and receive communion together. And so I would like to be able to have you join with us over there. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to have your camera on. You don't have to have your mic on. That's your choice, not mine. And it's a good thing to come and join us for community. There. Now, let's circle the wagons. When you read Hebrews 11, 12, and 13, the Holy Spirit, no matter who the author is, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and me to live in, walk in, be established in our faith. You're going to have to fight for it. You're going to have to hold on to it. The devil's not going to want you to have faith. Matthew chapter 13, which is the parable of the sower, and the parable of the sower and the four types of soil. You're going to have to war. When faith starts rising in your heart, you're going to go to war against the enemy. And you need the body of Christ, and you need your pastor when that begins to happen, so that you can walk in faith and victory every single day. And so I encourage you right now, walk in faith. Walk in faith. Because faith is simple. You believe God is. You believe he rewards you when you diligently seek him. Jesus said, he said to the disciples, if you want more faith, speak to that mountain. In speaking to a mountain to remove that's in your way, as you speak to it, you build faith. The next thing you know, you're going to look up and the mountain's going to be gone. And now you'll have experience, and that mountain will not stop you or anyone like you ever again. Let's pray the prayer of salvation. And for everybody that's here with us on Read the Word, we do this every time because you never know who's going to be here who doesn't know Jesus. We want to make sure we give you that opportunity. Let's all have a drink of coffee. Pray this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
And I thank you for it.
Thank you.
Here's your chance. Now make it bold. Jesus, I believe you are the only begotten Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the only begotten Son of God.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
Put your arms out and just say this with all your heart. I receive you into my life, Jesus.
I receive you into my life, Jesus.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling my life with all the fullness of God.
Filling my life with all of the fullness of God.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life as a believer every day.
And live a successful life as a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. And amen. And amen. Welcome to the family of God. We're glad you're here. You found us. Every one of you that just prayed that prayer and you meant that deep within you, God Almighty just filled you. I know. Whenever I pray it, it's like, wow. I've been a believer since I was 12 years old, and I'll be 60 in about another 20 days here. For 48 years, I've been a believer. To this day, when I pray that, I can still feel a warm glow of the power of God coming all over me. What is it, Pastor? It's the fact that your being is reaching out for all of God to fill it. Your mind has been in control of your spirit if you've not been a believer very long. You've got to tell that mind to shut up. You, the spirit, got to tell your mind to shut up and do what the Bible says. and it'll be. You know, some of you, it's going to take a little bit. Probably going to have to fast and pray to crucify that flesh. That's all right. Do it. Because it's worth it. It'll be a blessing to you. You might say, Pastor, how do I walk with God every day? Well, what do? You get your Bible just like this one. I recommend the Thompson Chain Reference Bible. This Bible costs, because I got a really nice extra special leather case, it cost $80. Anyway, I say, Pastor, I couldn't spend that much for a Bible. You spent that much for your iPad. And which one's more important? Can't buy a Bible, I understand. I've been broke some times in my life. We'll help you get it. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts. Do it again. Why? Because it's the story of Jesus' life in the beginning of the church. And it'll lead you to paths of righteousness. Click like, subscribe, hit the bell, and join with us. My email address is right down there. Send me an email. Tell me a story. Give me a prayer request. Ask me a question. Ask me 1,000 questions. Anyway, we can help you walk with God. We're going to do that. In Jesus Christ's name. And keep your eye on your YouTube indicator, because every time we go live, you're able to be with us. And we'll lead you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, in Jesus' mighty name. Well, till we see you again, this is what we got to say. Everybody say it with me. Remember this. We love you. And
we love you.
God loves you. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is Lord.
And Jesus is Lord.
In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Come and join us over on Zoom. Hold it. I didn't do that right yet. Hang on just a second. Ha. Let me try again. And the meeting ID. Come and be with us. We'll see you in a minute. All right. Those of you that are with us on Zoom, good to have you with us. Let's receive our communion.